Thank you for tuning in to the Heritage Church of God in Maumee, Ohio, where Senior Pastor Robert L. Fry has a great message from God's holy word. We'd love for you to come and join us at Heritage Church of God, where our motto is, a salvation experience makes you a member. We're located at 3520 Strayer Road in Maumee, Ohio. Look for the red brick church in the valley. If you'd like more information about Heritage Church of God, contact the office at 419-861-9520 or visit our website at heritagechurchofgod.org. Now, let's listen to Pastor Fry share a message inspired by God.
I want you to turn with me to John chapter 13. Most of you could have guessed what I would be preaching on tonight. Most Sunday mornings I preach a topical message. And on Thursday nights I try to preach more of a textual message. And when I was teaching on Wednesday night, I did what was called expository messages. You'll find some preachers only preach one style. Some preach a couple. And I tried to rotate those so that we would get a full view of what's going on in the world, full view of the pictures that are painted in the Bible, and a full view of the Bible itself. I think we do that well in our Bible studies, the expository, and exploring the Bible verse after verse after verse, book after book after book. So now I limit myself because of that to topical and textual, but tonight I do want to do an expository message on John chapter 13. So let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, I pray tonight that you reach out your hands and touch people that I cannot touch. Go to their inner spirit and place your hand upon their need. Take your hand and reach our hands out so that we can touch other needs. And the people will not see us, but they'll see you. And Lord, as they see you, that you will be glorified. And we'll be content, knowing we've served you another day. Bless this message, for Lord, you know it far better than I. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own whom were in the world, he loved them to the end. Right in the beginning of this passage, as Jesus had already entered into Jerusalem, he already knew that his hour to die was coming. One of his accomplishments, the accomplishment that he chose to talk about right here in the book of John, is that he loved those who God put in his pathway, that he loved them to the end. Now, I want you to think about those who he loved. They're a motley crew. They're a lot like a church. You had James and John, who wanted to be on his right hand and his left hand. You had Peter, who was always getting in the way, wanting to do it his own way. He knew a better way, whether it was cutting off someone's ear and protecting Christ, who didn't need protected. I wondered how many times that I've put up an argument for God or for the Bible, and it needed no argument. God and the Bible speak for itself. And it speaks much louder than I do. All I needed to do was witness of God in the Bible. And if I witnessed of it, the people could see it and they too would be drawn to it. Judas was one of those that he loved to the end. I mentioned earlier, he washed Judas' feet. And supper being ended, the devil having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going to God, rose from supper and laid aside his garments, and he took a towel and girded himself. And that after that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with a towel with which he was girded. He already knew who he was. He knew his purpose. He knew he was going to die. And he chose what he did, and he chose what was written, and it's written in every book in the gospel in the Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They all recorded it. You know where I got my lungs. That was me when I was that age. My dad said, you better be called to preach because you could never sit through a whole sermon. I think he was right. Then listen to this in verse 6. Then he came to Simon Peter and said to him, Lord, are you washing my feet? Jesus answered and said to him, what I am doing you do not understand now, but you will know after this. You do not understand what I'm doing. Jesus was standing there with a towel around his waist, knelt down in front of Peter's feet, and Peter says, you're not going to wash my feet. And Jesus said, you do not understand what I'm doing. I wonder sometimes if we understand what he was doing. Matter of fact, if we understood it, we might participate more often. But Jesus wasn't putting Peter down. He understood that Peter didn't understand, and he understands that we don't understand. Because until we get into him and we allow him to get into us and we get into other people with him, we're never going to understand it. And this is what Jesus is saying. And listen as we go forward. Peter said to him, you shall never wash my feet. Other words, Jesus, you're too good for that, and I'm too bad for that. Jesus answered to him, if I do not wash your feet, you have no part with me. Jesus says, this is so important, Peter, that you understand what I'm doing. See, Peter was raised in a time where those who were in authority had the authority, and you looked up to them, and you respected them, and you were there to serve them. And Jesus is bringing a whole new rule of law into his kingdom and what his kingdom was about. And those who are serving are the leaders. No one is better than you. You're not better than anyone else. My daddy used to tell me that all the time. Don't you dare look down on anyone. And don't you let anyone look down on you. Because God did something for us. He brought us here to serve. Not for someone to demand service, but that we willingly give our service. Peter, you will never learn what I'm teaching you about being a leader until you understand what it is to get down before the people that you are there to lead. You get down before them and you wash their feet. Peter and disciples, you don't know what I'm doing, but you will know. Peter, you don't understand this now, but you will understand it. So Peter, being whom he was, Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. In other words, I want to do all this, and it's not about your hands and head, Peter. You think you get it. You ever been around someone that you're trying to teach something and they looking around and you know they're just not interested? You know they already know more than what they're saying is already know more than you can tell me. That's what Peter was doing. Well, if you're going to do that, just wash my hands and feet, my hands and my head too. And I think Jesus went like this. Oh my, oh my, oh my. And I think that when we think that we get it sometimes, Jesus still puts his hands on his head and says, oh my, oh my, oh my. Because we get it in the flesh. And we don't understand the deepness of the Spirit of God and what he's trying to do and how he's trying to work. Simon Peter, Jesus said to him, he who has bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not all of you. Simon Peter, it's not about your hands and your feet. This isn't about being dirty. This is about knowing your place in my kingdom. Simon Peter, for he knew who would betray him before he said, you are not all clean. So he knew about Judas, and he knew what Judas was going to do. But he had told the other disciples that they were clean. And I look at the other disciples, they didn't look too clean to me. They were clean by their faith in Jesus and their willingness to continue to learn in him. And if we can get that in the church, we will learn to get along with people and to love people that aren't quite there yet. We can love people as they come in the door because they're seeking him, not just because they have found all of him, not just because they're living totally righteous. Jesus was looking at a group of people, and the only one that he pointed out was the one that would knowingly was turning his back on him and was going to betray him. The rest of you are clean. But they weren't clean according to our judgment. As I said, with the men, we're not to be the judge. We're to be the witnesses. An old preacher told me that one time, and he says, you know, if you go in and sit in the judge's chair as a witness, they'll take you out in handcuffs. And he said, I believe that God sometimes wants to take people out of the church in handcuffs because they put themselves in the seat of judgment rather than the seat of a witness. I was in a minister's meeting many years ago. And we were talking about our churches and the sizes of our churches. Back that time, the church I pastored was running about 65. One pastor said he had 400, and I thought, oh my, what a big church. Another one said that he had about 300. And another one said that he had about 50, but were clean. In other words, they ran everybody else off. That didn't meet their standard as judgment. And I was the next one in line, and I said, we've got about 60, but we're not clean yet. And we're still growing. We're clean in Jesus Christ and in his eyes, not your eyes, because God knows something that you don't. He knows who you are. He knows how you think. He knows what grudges you hold. He knows what your secret, what so easily besets you. But I liked what he said. He loved them to the end, and he told Peter they were clean only by his grace. So when he had washed their feet, took his garment and he sat down again and he said to them, do you know what I have done to you? And those words I underlined in my Bible because that is the question that needs to be answered before we leave here tonight. Do you know what I did to you? Jesus said, I just washed your feet. Do you know what I did to you? You call me teacher, Lord, and those are true statements, for I am. If I then, your Lord and your teacher, have washed your feet, you ought also to wash one another's feet. And he's saying, if I am your teacher and the one that you respect, and I can kneel down and I can serve you, then you need to kneel down and serve one another. That's what you need to learn. You're not here. I've heard churches splitting. Well, I go to church and I don't get anything out of it. I don't get anything out of the singing. I don't get anything out of the preaching. You're not supposed to come here to get something out. You're supposed to come here to put something in. You're a Christian. You're to be here to serve, to do something. And you say, well, what does it need? That church wasn't very friendly. Well, what'd you do? Stand around with your hands in your pockets? I've learned something. I've learned something in politics, Michael. You got to stick out your hand for somebody to shake it. If you want to be a friend, you've got to show yourself friendly. And if you see a need in a church or a deficit in the church, then meet it. We come in and we say, boy, the offerings are too low. Maybe we ought to meet it. Get them up there. If we say it isn't friendly, then we ought to be more friendly. If we think that the church isn't clean, then we need to clean it. That's what my mother did. In our new Cadillac with a toilet bowl brush and a mop and a bucket, she would go when no one else was there and clean the bathrooms because they needed cleaned. But she didn't want anyone to know who did it. My dad, when I was a kid, I went with him when I was 8, 9, 10, 11 years old up to the oil station and saw him pay people's oil bill and tell the man, I'll buy oil from someone else if you ever tell him who bought it. We're here to serve. We're here to help. Well, I got my feelings hurt. Well, just maybe you hurt somebody's feelings by getting your feelings hurt. You ever think of that? When you walk around, get on your knees and wash somebody's feet. Get over yourself, Peter. Do you see what I have done? I've gotten over myself. It isn't about me, it's about you, and that's why I'm about to do what I'm about to do on the cross for you. Do you know what I have done to you? For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. He said, so if you see it and you understand it, you're going to be blessed. But until you learn how to serve others, that means you don't get your way. That means that you do what's needed. That means that you get on your knees before God if somebody's heart needs change rather than you trying to change their mind by falling out with them. We say, God, change their heart so that my love for you can touch their love for you so that we can work together. Jack Hiles, when I was just a little kid, he had a church of about 6,000 at the time. I was just starting to pastor, and I thought, boy, wouldn't that be great? Well, the bigger our church gets, the more burden that would be. And I think, nah, that's just too much. But he said to us young preachers, he said, you need to preach to the back row. Because if you preach that row back there, everybody can hear you. If you preach to the front row, a lot of people won't hear you. He said, do you understand that concept? Yeah. He said, now let me drive it home. You need to love the unlovely. Find the hardest person in the church to love. And if you can love them, you'll have no trouble with all the rest. That one that rubs everybody the wrong way, that one that upsets everybody every time they're around, you learn how to love that one, and you'll love all the rest. I see families that they only want to love one kid or one grandchild. How about that one that's the hardest to love? That's what Jesus is teaching. He said, do you understand what I did? Now, when Judas left, let me show you this just real quick. I do not speak concerning all of you. I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture may be fulfilled, he who eats bread with me has lifted up his heel against me. Now, I tell you before it comes, that when it comes to pass, you may believe that I am he. Most assuredly, I say unto you, he who receives whomever I send receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me. And when Jesus had said these things, he was troubled in his spirit and testified and said, most assuredly, I say to you, one of you will betray me. Here's the amazing thing. Jesus loved them all so much that they didn't know they couldn't pick out Judas. We could pick out the one, Michael, in the church that's going to betray us. They've given us trouble for years. Who's going to betray us? Jesus loved him just that much. Then the disciples looked at one another, perplexed about whom he spoke. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom his disciple whom Jesus loved. And Simon Peter, therefore, motioned to him to ask, who is it of whom he speaks? I think this guy, Peter, was feeling a little bit guilty. Because Peter knew he didn't quite get it yet. Then leaning back on Jesus' breast, he leaned over and he said to him, Lord, is it I? His capability. He knew that he was capable of it. He didn't guess it was Judas, because Jesus loved Judas and Jesus treated Judas so well. Even let him be the treasurer. And Jesus answered, it is he to whom I shall give a piece of bread, and when I have dipped it, and have dipped the bread, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. Now here's the part that startles me. I don't know if Jesus said that out loud, that all the disciples could hear it, but somehow they didn't catch on. Because now after the piece of bread, Satan entered into Judas, then Jesus said to him, what you do, do quickly. But no one at the table knew for what reason he said to him. For some thought, because Judas had the money box, that Jesus said to him, buy those things which we need for the feast, or to him give some more money to the poor, or having received a piece of bread, he then went out immediately, and it was night. Isn't it amazing that even when he left, the disciples were making good excuses for him? You know why? Because Jesus showed him his love. Why is it that we think that we can treat sinners badly? Why is it do we think that we can treat those who misuse us badly? Why do we feel that it's our right to treat anyone badly? Jesus said, do you understand what I just did? No, they didn't. So when he had gone out, Jesus said, now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and glorify him immediately. Little children, I shall be with you a little while longer. You will seek me, and I said to the Jews, where I am going, you cannot go. Come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give to you. Now they had the 10, and the 10 was plenty. They had already written books after books after books on them. Jesus said, now I'm giving you another one, and I think the disciples are saying, oh my goodness, I haven't even defined the 10 yet. That you love one another as I have loved you. that you also love one another. But this all, by this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. You know what Jesus did when he washed their feet? He just loved them. He loved them. He loved them in their dirtiness. He loved them in their sinfulness, in their fleshiness. And he pronounced them clean. He overlooked my faults and saw my needs. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, where are you going? Jesus answered him, where I'm going, you cannot follow me now, but you shall follow me afterwards. In other words, I'm going to die, and you're going to see me raised from the dead, and you're going to know that you have eternal life, because you're going to see me who I really am, and you'll see yourself, Peter, who you really are. And Peter said when he died, don't hang me on a cross like they hung Jesus. Hang me upside down because I am not worthy. He got it. And he served his entire life. He served the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter said unto him, Lord, why can I not follow you now? I'll lay down my life for your sake. And Jesus said, will you lay down your life for my sake? Most assuredly, I say to you that the rooster shall not crow till you have denied me three times. But Peter, all you need is your feet washed because you're clean. What is it? Can you love somebody if you know they're going to do you wrong? Jesus did. That's what John 13 is all about. Do you understand it now? Do you know why I'm doing this? Jesus said. He said, because I came in the world to die for sinners. I think we have a lot of churches out there are rest homes for saints. The problem is they're not as saintly as they should have been. They should have loved more. They should have reached out more. They should have been friendly more. They should have loved the unlovely. They should have loved them that rubbed them the wrong way. They should have loved those who betrayed them. One of the things that I've tried to do in this church, people have left throughout the years, and I try to stay in the state of mind and the state of heart that I'll love them even though they leave. I'll not see them and treat them badly. And I'll love them when they come back. After 28 years, I've seen a lot of them come back. Because they know they can. Jesus saw Peter come back. He saw James and John come back. Because he loved them. Let's stand. Our Heavenly Father, I pray tonight through the power of your Spirit that we love one another. We don't look at the faults. We look for the needs that Jesus can touch through us. I pray tonight, this night when we think of your betrayal, we think of the Last Supper. And tomorrow, as we think of your death, might we never, ever, ever think of the cross without seeing the resurrection. For that is the door that gives us a hope. Bless this Sunday. Bless those who are going to be here. Anoint this room with your Spirit. For that we'll give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to Pastor Robert L. Fry from Heritage Church of God in Maumee, Ohio. where a salvation experience makes you a member. If you've enjoyed Pastor Fry's message today, we'd love for you to come and join us at Heritage Church of God. We're located at 3520 Strayer Road in Maumee, Ohio. Just look for the red brick church in the valley. If you'd like more information about Heritage Church of God, or you'd like to receive a copy of today's message, contact the church office at 419-861-9520 or visit our website at heritagechurchofgod.org. And this has been a Heritage Church of God audio outreach ministry.